Catholic Order of Foresters, dedicated to bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. Catholic Order of Foresters is looking to hire Relevant Radio listeners as new agents in each of our markets. For more information, call Mark at 855-696-2085.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Remember the film Out of Africa? That reference takes on a whole new meaning today when bishops, archbishops, missionaries, and modern-day disciples of the gospel of life are building up the infrastructures of their villages and cities there on a foundation of faith and truth about human life, and then taking those fundamentals out to the West. I'm Sheila Logbenis. Right now it's 5 minutes after the hour. Time to take a closer look. Program. Thanks for tuning in. I don't know if you heard much about it, but you sure did hear when last fall's extraordinary synod on the family took place in Rome, and some European bishops started it off quickly with some controversial questions and proposals about marriage, family, and changed pastoral approaches toward each. African bishops started speaking out quickly. I was practically standing up and cheering for Archbishop Kagama. When they started speaking out saying, we don't want such ideologies that have spread in the West to set up or take hold in their countries, where they know what marriage is, they said, when life begins, and what constitutes a family grounded in the dignity of human life. Well, I've had the honor and pleasure of coming to know some of them and have had two African bishops on this show, Bishop Adejo and Archbishop Palmer Buckle from Ghana, thanks to my good friend from Culture of Life, Uju Ikiocha, who introduced me to them long distance when she was down there yet again, time and again, she goes there, for another conference on life and then organizing marches for life in places where they had not held them before. Then she goes back to the UK and she organizes them there, not always to the friendliest crowds, but Uju, that she's dauntless. She's going to go anywhere in the world. She goes to New York. And she meets at the United Nations. She goes to Rome. She met the Holy Father. She goes everywhere. And I'm happy to say that Uju is not only back in the U.S., she's in Chicago for a special event and in studio with me for a roundtable with two other guests. Joining me here is, of course, Uju, founder of Culture of Life Africa and a one-woman force of nature. Uju, welcome to Chicago and back to A Closer Look.
Well, thank you so much, Sheila. It's really wonderful and much of a pleasure to finally be here in studio with you.
In studio with me in my hometown.
Exactly.
Chicago.
So it's pretty special. It's pretty special for me. So thank you for having me on.
Very special. So hey, next time, let's try to do this in Rome since you now know the Holy Father.
Absolutely.
Well, joining us also is Deacon Leo Okonkwo, founder of HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life, among other mission works he's founded. Deacon, welcome to Chicago and to the studio.
Thank you, Sheila, and may God bless you for what you do.
Thank you, and we pray before we're going on the air because we want God to bless the airwaves, all of our words, that they are His words alone, nothing more, nothing less, and all of our listeners, so they are inspired by the works you all do. And Nick Costello joins us, president of the same organization, Home to Enhance African Life, or HEAL, which held the event that brought them all together. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sheila. Thanks for having us here.
I've known you for a long time. So on that note, Nick, with you, I've known you a long time here in Chicago. You're always doing great works in Chicago in the pro-life world. And in one and the same, right? Catholic world. But evangelizing in so many ways. I see you at events. I've known you for years. Talk about how you got to be president of Home to Enhance African Life and what the event was that brought our other two guests here.
Well, I am a former seminarian myself, and I met Deacon Leo here about 16, 17 years ago. We were Mount St. Mary's Seminary classmates in 1998. And so we became friends at that time. And we're in the same year of theology. And so I had a lot of good discussions and hit it off. And I learned at that time about his mission work as well, which he had been doing for a very long time. And it was something that piqued my interest, but wasn't central to what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then when we went our separate ways from seminary, we stayed in touch. And he would contact me occasionally about his mission for the orphans and widows in his country. And I'd help him as I could out of my means. But things escalated a couple years ago when Deacon Leo, then just Leo, called me and said, "Nick, I need your help." And I said, "Okay, what's it about?" And he briefly explained it to me and then visited me in Chicago. And the situation was the Nigerian government was inspecting the school he was teaching these orphans in, mm-hmm. in a rural village in Nigeria. And it wasn't up to their standards. And so they were threatening to shut down this school. It was actually a livestock stall. You know, normally where you keep chickens and pigs yeah. is where Deacon Leo was teaching these children. And although they were receiving a quality education because of his, you know, his own experience with education, the Nigerian government wasn't really cooperating and were threatening to shut him down. So he felt he needed to call me.
Yeah.
And so he came in the fall of 2013, and I listened to his mission mm-hmm. and got a more insightful understanding of it.
Yeah.
Now, I should say, Sheila, at first I was reluctant to get involved. I was happy to see my old friend visiting me in Chicago, and I at first thought, well, maybe I'll put him up for a couple days. And I actually, when he visited me, I'm single, I'm a bachelor, and you know, we kind of get covetous of our space. You know, I have a one bedroom condo, and my first suggestion was, well, Leo, maybe I can put you up in a hotel for a few days. And he said, "Nick, if we spend money on a hotel, that's money that could go to the mission and to the orphans and the widows."
Good for you, Deacon.
So that was his way of telling me no. And so I had to give up a little space, and that was like my first step. And then
that's a good first step.
Yeah, it was a good first step, and it opened up me from a little bit of selfishness, self-centeredness. And
it had him around your place a lot to be able to tell you his story.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And then I've got a lot of stories, Sheila. I don't know how much time.
But we have the show hour.
Here, how I became president. Okay. The first morning we went to Mass at Holy Name Cathedral.
While
he was visiting me. And after I gave up my space in the condo, gave him the couch. And the priest celebrating the Mass, I knew, it turned out. I knew this priest and was in seminary with this priest. And I wasn't sure if Leo knew this priest. I thought they might know each other. So after Mass was over, I thought, and I was a little hesitant. Okay, do I introduce him to someone he might not know? And, you know, he's just going to start asking him for things, asking him for help. And but sure enough, we walked into the sacristy after Mass, made the introduction. They immediately recognized each other and gave each other a big hug.
See, that's providential.
Yeah, and started reminiscing about their seminary days. I'm like, I thought, my job's over. You know, I introduced him.
Now it was only beginning.
Now he can, you know, now that Father, this priest at Holy Name can introduce him to everybody else, and I'm done. But now what happened then was there was the sacristan, you know, who was putting the items back into the drawers in the sacristy, overheard what Deacon Leo, then Leo, was telling Father.
Right.
And she said to us, "I overheard what you were saying, and I thought it was wonderful, and I want to help. I want to help. So can you come back tomorrow morning and at the same time and just meet me after Mass?" And we said, sure. You know, so we came to the same Mass.
Very cool.
The next morning. And we met her at this, you know, the steps up into the sanctuary, and she said, "Oh, thank you for coming back. My name's Vishna, and here, take this for your mission."
Wow.
We walked back home, Sheila, and Leo opened up the envelope, and there was $1,000 in it.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That's so providential.
From a complete stranger, and so at that point, I knew that
this was meant to be.
That something was happening because strangers just don't give someone $1,000.
It's a powerful story.
It doesn't happen. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe the Holy Spirit's in on this or something. And so I started okay, I'll try it again. I'll introduce them to more people.
And see what happens.
And one by one by one, everyone Leo told his story to had a similar reaction. 90%. I mean, some people, they're not naturally interested, but so many people that he told the story to had some type of a reaction like that. And I knew Holy Spirit was at work. So
then did he propose this idea of heal?
Yeah. So what happened was we networked and we decided we needed to start this 501c3 charity.
Is what it's about.
501c3 heal. And Leo made me the president. And he founded it. So that's how that happened. I mean, I was working. I was in sales, and that had been my work for 15 years, and it was good. But I knew something was missing, not quite right there.
Yeah.
And Leo, when he came to Chicago and we started doing this, I kind of felt it brought me back to my days and, you know, with my dedication to the church.
Right, right.
So
I'll say.
It kind of closed the loop for me, and I felt like I was on a better path.
Well, the story is incredible. So, you know, I want more time after the break, so let's take that now, because then we're going to hear the story you keep saying that then Leo went on to tell his story. Now Deacon Leo can tell that story, and Home to Enhance African Life, which you then became president of and he's founder of. Deacon Leo, you have branched out and you found a number of things. But the first thing, when I saw on your home site, which, by the way, is linked on my show page today, folks, when you were called to solve the water problem, Deacon, that's one problem I emphasize all the time in a number of places in the world that is so doable. It's so solvable. And that grabs my heart right away to see Water for Life mission. There's so much we can do to save lives and help communities just with water. Just with water, folks. We can do this. So there are links on the show page, and we've got a roundtable here. We've got a lot to talk about, so stay tuned. I'm Sheila Logmina. You're listening to A Closer Look. Deacon Leo is up next. Ujwiki Ocha has got a lot to talk about. We've all got stories. And the table is open for them. My inbox is open as well. A Closer Look at RelevantRadio.com. And after we get going a little bit more, I'm going to have the phones open as well, so you can talk to them, because there is something in this story. That's why I want you to stay tuned, besides the very inspiring stories, is this is about all of us. This is not about Nigeria just alone. Ghana, which Africa, we were talking about, Uju had Archbishop Palmer Buckwell on the program from Ghana. It's not just about them. This is about us all. And you're going to find out ways we can help each other and ways they're helping us in America. And we really need their witness. So don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break.
As declared by Pope Francis, this is the year of consecrated life. What priest, sister, or brother has had an impact on your life?
I was a Catholic for 4 years. I married a Catholic, but told him that I would never become a Catholic. So I started going to his church, and the priest was so nice. His name is J.C. Kane, and he knew I was not Catholic. And I would take a book and write all the things I thought were wrong. So one day he told me, if you keep coming to church just to criticize and to write in your little book, I think it's better for you not to come back, because I'm concerned about your spiritual growth. That's what turned my life around, to seek what the Catholic Church was about. So sometimes we don't like to hear things, but that's what turned everything around.
Celebrating the year of consecrated life, this is Relevant Radio.
We cannot force people to accept Christ. We can't do it. They have to see him. They have to recognize him. And how are they going to recognize him? By seeing him in us.
Father Richard Simon of Father Simon Says.
Real evangelism happens one-to-one. To me, one of the greatest evangelists in modern times, of course, was Blessed Mother Teresa. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she would bathe the feet of dying lepers in India. And they would say, why are you doing this? She says, because Christ asks me to do this. And then they would say, is Christ like you? She would say, no, but I try to be like him. And they would say, I want this Christ. You see, that's evangelism. They have to see it in you before they hear it from you. In order to be a true evangelist, I must live in such a way that people will want to know the God I worship.
Keeping you energized to evangelize. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, serving customers' banking needs in all 50 states with services such as new car loans and refinancing on existing car loans. More information at notredamefcu.com/relevantradio. Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logminas at a round table today in the Chicago studios with one of my very close friends, Uju Ikiocha, founder of Culture of Life Africa. She's been on the show from, let's see, the UK, twice from Africa when she went down there to help some of the African bishops who asked her to come down, organize pro-life conferences and marches there. And she helped me get the bishops on the program as well. So I've done that for a couple of really compelling programs. And then she was in studio with me at Notre Dame and we attended the Vita Institute conference. And today Uju is in Chicago for a special event we have yet to talk about. And we have a round table here. So the links are all on the show page, folks, for Uju and Culture of Life Africa. And for my second guest, Deacon Leo Okonkwo, founder of HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life, among other mission works he's founded. If you go to his website, that main homepage, you'll find a number of them. And I just referred before the break to the water project that he founded, ways to save lives, ways to help people. There are so many, and they are in such need, our brothers and sisters. But in the meantime, we are in such need of their witness to life. He's here at the table for a special event he came in with, along with Uju. And Nick Costello joins us, president of HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life, who organized and held this event that brought them all together. So right before the break, we heard Nick was telling the story of how he came to even be the president of Home to Enhance African Life through his years in seminary, knowing back then Leo as his brother, student, seminarian, and how Deacon Leo came from Nigeria to Nick's place, who made room for him to tell his story of what his needs were back there. And incredible story about the being at Mass at Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago, taking him to Mass there the next morning, a woman hearing your story, Deacon Leo, and asking to meet you the next morning after Mass, handing you an envelope with $1,000 in it. And over the break, folks, I was telling them the first thought I had at that is that God puts things or people or messages in front of us all the time. And all he expects is and asks is that we see what he puts in front of us and what he asks us to do with it. And because of that woman giving an envelope with $1,000 to Deacon Leo, this whole project started up and they did so much with it. That's what we're called to do with what God puts in front of us all the time. Deacon Leo, starting from that point, what did you do with that $1,000 in addition to starting with Nick setting up HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life?
Thank you for your question. A lot.
I'm sure you
did a lot with it. And such lots began as far back as 1983. The first organization that you saw in the website is Water for Life.
Right.
Because of experience I had growing up as a young man. At 1983, I was 11 and a half years old when I was given away to another family because of financial difficulties. So my education was impeded. Then I prayed to God because I wanted to go to school. I wanted to be able to serve God the way I was desiring to be a priest.
From that young an age?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I go to church with my mom and I saw the priest celebrate the Mass. When I get home, I will use water and cup to celebrate my own Wesai Mass. So I have always desired to be a priest before the problem came up, and then I was given away. Mm. So that giving away and that experience in a distant land from my home made me to develop a close attachment to Mary, Mother of God.
Oh, beautiful.
Because my mom gave me a rosary as I was going away to pray that rosary. And so I knew that God is real, but I never saw God until that very day when there was no hope of my going to school. But I saw children of my master's who were crying on returning from school. I found out they were not able to solve their problems, mathematical problems that they were given. So I took their textbook and studied, and then started teaching them.
Wow.
They did well. Their teachers corrected their papers, and they passed. So their father promised to send me to school. Without knowing that there would be a problem of accepting me, I took the entrance exam to go to minor seminary, which I passed. But on reaching the house to submit the slip of my results, my master was upset because he was not a Christian.
Oh.
So he destroyed my results.
Oh, no.
And then forced me not to go to school, not to go to seminary. So I prayed a novena prayer to St. John Bosco, and I asked God, if you provide me someone to take me to school, to go to seminary, my promise is that I would be not just a priest, but a priest who will be after the heart of God's poor and marginalized. In fact, I practically said, I will look for the orphans and widows, the marginalized poor, wherever they are, and that I will serve them as their slave.
Oh, so even before we had a Pope Francis talking about going out to the existential peripheries and meeting the poor where they are, in whatever way they're poor, you were already saying to God, this is what you offered him, if he would make it happen for you. What happened then?
So, 9 days after the novena, a Christian called me and promised to send me to seminary. That's how I went
just
to seminary.
Like that. Wow.
And so when I finished minor seminary, I went to senior seminary for philosophy in my country and did well. So I came here on scholarship to North America, where I started my master's degree in theology.
Wow, what a witness.
So that was around 1997 by this time. And I was so vocal because God put in my heart the concerns of the widows, the orphans.
Right.
And so as I was struggling with this, I was doing well in the school. I was also happy with being outside my country, being in overseas, in North America, that is civilized, first world. But I was always sleepless, thinking about the conditions of the poor and the marginalized in my country.
They never left your heart.
They never left my heart. Mm-hmm. I never slept well in those days. So, but something happened in 1997, because I saved the little money that I was given and the book that I published in 1994 in my country. The money that I made from them, I saved them. And it's with that, plus other funds that I saved in teaching calculus, mathematics, that I kept, but I was writing articles in Toronto Star then, asking that the world should look into the affairs, the conditions of the poor and marginalized. But until 1997, July 17th, God challenged me when nothing was going on, nothing was happening, no response. No response like the response that the woman gave us at Holy Name.
Right.
This time, I made every attempt. I made every speech.
Yeah.
I wrote everything. Nothing was happening until I went to the Blessed Sacrament. Again, I asked God in lamentation, not in prayer now. But then I thought I was praying. I was asking God. I said, what is all this? I have written. I have spoken. I have done this. Nobody's responding. Is it that nobody cares about the poor and the marginalized? So it was this question that I now got a question back, clear statement from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it was loud and it was clear. You want people to bring money to support what you're doing, to support the poor and the marginalized. Good. But you, what are you doing with the money that I gave you?
Mm-hmm.
When this question was asked me, I realized that in 1987, when I made the commitment that I had found, I saved them. I didn't use them. And so...
And then we're going to hear after the break what you, how that turned you around.
And then, Uju, your role in the event that took place here and what you've been doing, aside from meeting Pope Francis. There's so much more to come, folks. I'm Sheila Ogminas. Closer Look. Stay put.
From Provident Films and Affirm Films comes War Room. Tony and Elizabeth Jordan's marriage is turning into a battle, and their daughter is caught in the crossfire until Elizabeth meets Miss Clara.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
And learns that prayer is a powerful weapon. Fighting the good. War Room. Now play. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. More information is available at warroomthemovie.com.
The all-new Relevant Radio app. It's your one-stop app for everything Catholic.
There are a number of new features on it. One of the things that I really like is that there's a prayer treasury there. It has three selections: basic prayers, before Mass prayers, and after Mass prayers. I hope that our listeners can get this app, download it, and discover it for themselves. It'll enrich their spiritual life and deepen their faith.
Take your faith wherever you go.
The all-new Relevant Radio app 2.0. It's in your app store.
Hello, Father James Kubicki here, and I'm sure you're aware that shortly after his death, people began calling Pope John Paul II Pope John Paul the Great. There are only a few popes in history who have been given that title, and today the Church honors one of them, Pope Gregory the Great. What made him great? Any number of things. His leadership during the turbulent times of barbarian invasions and plagues and famine, where he showed great care for the people of Rome, his writings and sermons, and the music that bears his name to this day, Gregorian chant. But these things don't necessarily make great saints. One thing does: love. And St. Gregory was an example of a particular kind of love, forgiveness. Here's something he wrote about praying for enemies and forgiveness. How frequently we offer a prayer for our enemies, but do it because we are commanded to, not out of love for them. We ask the gift of life for them even while we are afraid that our prayer may be heard. The judge of our souls considers our hearts rather than our words. Jesus, our advocate, has composed a prayer for our case. He has inserted a condition in the prayer that reads, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Sometimes we say those words without carrying them out. What are we to do then, my friends? We must not allow any malice at all to remain in our hearts. Remember what he taught us: forgive, and you will be forgiven. Let us forgive others then, so that we too may be forgiven.
For more prayer resources, go to relevantradio.com. Keyword, pray.
John Harper of Morning Air.
When Father Al said to me, "You know, God's going to ask you one question when you see him." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "John, what'd you do with the gift that I gave you?" And you're going to say, "What gift?" And he's going to look at you and say, "You.
Yeah.
What'd you do with you?" And it's like, you know, and I'm, you know, if you're a Honeymooners fan, I'm doing the Ralph Cramden, the humana, humana, humana. It's like, geez, I don't know if I can answer that right now, but does that put you on the right path?
Exactly. You know, I heard a priest once say to me, and I think it's a wonderful thing, when we are born, God gives us paint, brushes, and a canvas. And then we get to paint the portrait of our lives. And then when we die, we get to present that portrait to God. And so it's all God's grace working, you know. And how am I allowing God's grace to touch me? And how am I allowing God's grace to influence the picture of my life that I'm painting for God?
Morning Air with John Harper and Glenn Leverins, 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logmanis. So glad you're there. If you just tuned in, welcome to the program. I'm glad. I always love to have roundtables. I think a lot of you who follow the program regularly know that. I love to have roundtables, and especially when they're right in front of me here in our Chicago studio, which I do have today. I'm happy to say I have my friend Uju Ikiocha. Many of you have come to know Uju when she's been on the program from England, where she lives. But she travels so much around the world, she's seldom there, it seems. And when she is, she's doing marches for life in England, where they're not always so so welcoming of it on the sidelines. But we know that's the case here in America as well, though. The contingent that comes out against the Washington March for Life, the annual big one on the East in Washington as well as the West Coast, it's a rather small contingent that turns out because they can see the burgeoning numbers growing larger every year and happier and younger every year. And it's what she does. She travels all over the world for life and goes to Africa frequently when the bishops actually ask her to help them set up another conference for life. They have the top, they have people who fly in from other parts of the country, the continent and the world for some of their conferences on life. And then they hold a march for life through the streets where people are jubilant. They sing. They dance. It's just it's a wonderful thing to see the videos and the still shots she posts on social media. And Uju's so good at that. Culture. I've got the Culture of Life Twitter handle up on the show page, and I've posted the link there to Culture of Life Africa. Also at the roundtable is Deacon Leo Okonkwo, founder of HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life, among other mission works. He's founded Water Project that saves lives. It's not just hygiene. It's not just a hygiene issue. It's not just to, you know, build up your village with, you know, put water there. People need to drink it, right? People need it to live. And it's something that's so doable, folks. We can all be a part of that. But also the other part of his mission, we'll get into that. He founded that and other mission works as well. And then we also have at the table Nick Costello, my fellow Chicagoan here. He's president of Home to Enhance African Life, which his seminarian friend, Leo, helped talk him into when he came and visited and said, Nick, I need your help. And that's exactly what they're saying to you today. But when God puts something or someone or a message in front of us, all he asks us to do is just see what it is and what role we can take in it. And so I've put links up for all of this. There's a message in all of this for all of us. We'll talk about that during this half of the program. What is coming out of Africa is a message to us of life, of family, of marriage, and of a truth and dignity. The gospel of life never changes, no matter how much people try to redefine things. The truth of those things never changes. And that's what they need to export here to the West, the values that so many people in America have lost. So along these lines, Brother Deacon, I keep calling you brother because I know a Brother Leo, Deacon Leo.
It's okay.
So when this message in was it 1997?
Yes.
What was the message? God told you, you've been studying, you've been doing well, you've been writing and speaking, and you keep saying, but God, why are things not getting better for my people, for the people I worry so much about? What was the answer you got so clearly in front of the Blessed Sacrament?
The Lord said to me, what you are thinking or what you are doing, what you are asking people to do is great. But you, what are you doing with the money I gave to you? When he asked me this question, I realized that I had saved money all through my time of studies. Money from the books I published in my country in 1994. Money from teaching calculus, mathematics to grade 13 students that I saved in North America, plus other money. But I kept this money, I banked them. I never brought them out. I wanted people to bring their own money. So I realized God was challenging me. If you must ask people to help to change the life of the suffering people, the marginalized people, the orphans and widows, then you yourself must empty yourself of what he has given to me. And so that was my understanding of the challenge that God put to me before the Blessed Sacrament. And so I left the tabernacle, left the church, and went out and willed all the money I had in the bank for the foundation of what you called Water for Life there, mm-hmm. which was actually founded in 1997. And that today is what you know as HEAL.
So that was the beginning stages
the beginning of
HEAL. So Deacon Leo, on your page, healnigeria.org, there's an interesting story here to follow a Water for Life mission, which then grew into other missions. But in that 1997 story, there's this quote attributed back to 1997 from a Jesuit priest who told you, quote, you are a messenger to the oppressed, suffering poor, and you have groups behind you. You are a burden bearer. Did that hit you when you heard that, or did you already realize you were bearing burdens?
I didn't know I was bearing burdens, but it was an event that led to that. You know, people say that I am this or that mystic or the other way, But I think what happened was I went for a retreat in a Jesuit community in Guelph in Canada. And something happened during the retreat that shocked both myself and my retreat director, Bernard, Dr. Bernard, the Jesuit. And that was his response when I shared my story of what I went through in the church. So he made a statement that you are a burden bearer. And many people are with you. And you are indeed a great man with mission. He never told me, I never understood what that meant until maybe today, as I see the missionaries, different congregation,
right?
Because I have the religious orders that is being recognized now.
Well, let's stop right there on the religious orders to let people know how you got from that message in 97 to talking about religious orders, because on your pages in 2002, those words turned prophetic when Archbishop Ukpor of the Archdiocese of Calabar, Nigeria, told you that God wanted you to form a new religious order and help bring justice and compassion to the poor. What did you do with that message?
Again, I still remained silent, humble, because I didn't still understand, because I was not a priest. I'm not a priest. And although in the process of praying, I have realized in my studies in the seminary that I didn't need to be a priest to be a founder of a religious order. However, when the bishop said that, I thought it was very, it was a very high, lofty ambition or desire. I still did not understand the connection between what Dr. Bernard said, the Jesuit, and what the bishop said. I am still going to take time to recognize that until 2004. However, my response to the bishop was, when do you want me to begin? Because he actually told me to keep the priesthood apart and to focus on this. I said, when do you want us to begin?
And how soon was it?
And he told me, now.
Now. Right now. So you founded Message. I want people to hear this. So we just talked about the Water for Life mission. And then you founded Messengers of Justice, whose purpose includes legal advocacy to the oppressed, while also serving Water for Life mission. And then in 2006, you went on and founded a second religious community, the Compassionate Missionaries of the Poor, working at another mission home in remote villages in Nigeria. And another one you're after is Boys and Girls Villa, will be constructed to complement that compassionate home. And on and on and on go the missions. Uju, how did you get involved with this project and this mission?
Oh, Sheila, honestly, I was... sometime last year, out of the blues, I was contacted by Nick Costello. And of course, you've heard all the backdrop stories about, you know, Nick being the president of Hill and Deacon Leo being the founder. So he approached me and said, you know, I like the work you're doing, but it's really very related to what we're doing as well, because we are doing real work on the ground in Africa, trying to help widows and orphans. So that started a kind of a friendship, and over time, last couple of months, I've been getting to know more and more about the project. And anyone who has followed a bit of my work know that what we continue to ask for is for the real needs of Africans to be met. So this was one project that really resonated with me, that truly and indeed, this is a mission to the poor. This is a mission to the needy in Africa.
Sure.
So, of course, it resonated with me.
So Uju, you know, one of the big, the one thing I know you, well, you do so much, but you do so much for the culture of life, for people to understand life begins at conception and it goes to natural death. So that's life in the womb, the march for life, to try to end abortion, to try to help people see what abortion really is and so forth. We have Deacon Leo's work. It began with the inspiration, the message from God to serve widows and orphans. Orphans at least have made it to life. So it's interesting how it's all of a piece. And yet it's the child in the womb to the child who's out of the womb but doesn't have parents and to the family. And this is what is happening all over Africa.
Absolutely. So this is really a joining of hearts and minds, mm-hmm. truly. And I did speak a bit about that yesterday at the event, at the Heal event, that what I do, yes, indeed, people see it as pro-life on the outside, but what Heal does is absolutely pro-life on the ground in Africa, because this is not just a set of abstract ideas of, you know, life begins at conception. Yes, indeed, and we will continue to defend that. But then we are also very interested when people are born, we are also very interested that they are able to live in dignity, in full dignity.
Talk about that for a minute, because so many people on the side of backing, supporting abortion, mm-hmm. as they call it, abortion rights, they say, oh, you pro-life people only care about the baby. And then after that's it. Then you don't really care about the woman. Not true by a long shot. Or what happens when she has the baby and now she's strapped with this burden that she can't care for, when we need to show, and you're all showing so well, we care about it all. And we're doing not only care, but we're doing services through apostolates, through missions, through so much that our listeners know well, and some they don't know that they're hearing today. We continue to care for them long after the baby's born.
Yeah, exactly. That is such a ridiculous claim that pro-life people do not care after the child is born. Of course pro-life people do, and everybody would see that even in the Western world, like through crisis pregnancy centers. But in Africa, where we don't have a lot of crisis pregnancy centers, it is projects like this and missions like this that show, you know, just that to be pro-life indeed is to draw near to human suffering in compassion and to walk with them, you know, whichever the situation they find themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Catholic Church is working in various communities in Africa, that we are serving the poorest of the poor. So for all those who kind of, you know, come after the church and talk about the church not loving people in Africa, that's absolutely not true. Because at the end of it, where you see the poorest of the poor, the people who are accompanying them through their sufferings and through all kinds of difficulties are the Catholic missionaries who go down to the roots of communities, various communities, to serve people.
Like Deacon Leo's communities.
Absolutely.
I mean, the poorest of the poor, and yet we can learn so much from them. Because I want you to talk a little bit about that. What happens when you have a conference for life and then a march for life there? The joy of the women with their babies, the joy of the families. We want to hear that, because that is a witness to us in the affluent West. And we need that witness today. I'll tell you what, folks, if anyone has a question for any of my roundtable friends here, the number is 877-766-3777, 877-766-3777. I'm going to take a quick break, but we've got one more segment, and I've got questions myself. So if you have any, call in. We'll take the call. I'm Sheila Agminas. This is A Closer Look. We have a roundtable today. Don't go away.
He set state records as a high school quarterback, then became a Big Ten college quarterback at Purdue. But that wasn't enough. Calling plays to answering the call of God. Father Thomas Hahn, the quarterback priest on tomorrow's Morning Air. Also, the loving Pope Francis in the city of brotherly love, getting ready for the world meeting of families with Father Bob Pagliari. Father Jerry Murray, live from New York, answering your questions of faith. Glenn's Story Corner in the day's gospel reading on Friday's Morning Air.
Hey, I hope you have our new app.
The all-new Relevant Radio app 2.0.
Check it out. If you don't have it, it belongs on your smartphone.
What a wonderful way to naturally immerse our children in a Catholic culture. That's an amazing tool.
The all-new Relevant Radio app 2.0.
Newly designed, easy to navigate. You're going to love this.
It's your one-stop app for everything Catholic.
People are raving about it.
The all-new Relevant Radio app 2.0. Update your smart device today or download it from your app store.
There are so many dour subjects, and you seem to have a wonderful joy about you.
Monsignor Stuart Sweatland.
I want everyone to enjoy that confidence that comes from knowing Jesus, knowing his victory, and knowing that the purpose of it all is to be with him now and forever in heaven. You know, we get everything that he pours forth upon us now. Even with the difficulties and struggles, we know that those tears will be dried up and will lead to the joy of fulfillment in heaven. So with that in mind, when I'm on the radio, I have the awesome privilege of being able to announce all this good news because of the generosity and support of listeners like you who make this possible, that we can broadcast out this good news to literally thousands and thousands of people every moment. And it's hard not to be excited about what has been provided to us to do this vocation of the new evangelization.
Amen. And
listener supported.
Money well spent.
Thank you, Dan.
Relevant Radio.
The Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, dedicated to bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. For more information, go to catholicforester.org or relevantradio.com, keyword COF. Look, I'm Sheila Logmina. So glad you're there. If you missed the program today and you just now tuned in, I have a round table in Chicago. In front of me are three friends, one longtime friend, Uju Ikiocha. Surely you know her if you're a regular listener, and many of you tell me I'm your companion on the commute, so I know you know the program well. Uju has come on the program from the UK, twice from Africa with bishops, where they were holding pro-life conferences and marches for life in Africa, and from Notre Dame when we both attended a life conference, Vita Institute conference, and now here in Chicago where there was a special event for HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life. Well, the founder of that is Deacon Leo Okonkwo from Nigeria, who's here joining us at the table, and Nick Costello, president of Home to Enhance African Life, who organized the event that brought them all here. So we've been talking about the care we have for the baby, the new life, from in the womb and through birth, through life. And this is what we, people of life, do in every way. Now, as you said, Uju, in Africa, you know, they don't have the crisis pregnancy centers, but people seem, in everything I see you post and do through Culture of Life Africa, to be there in many ways to help each other in their village. Talk about the what having a baby in Africa means to the woman, mm-hmm. to the family, to the community, to the village.
Yeah, absolutely. And anyone who knows my story would know that from the beginning, it started with me saying to the, in response to the project of Melinda Gates, the wife of Bill Gates, instead of bringing in enormous amounts of contraception to sterilize African women, why don't you stand back and look at how the Africans react to the babies, react to motherhood, how we celebrate motherhood, how we put that right at the center of our celebrations in society. So the Africans do welcome children. I will say it over and over again. We welcome children. We celebrate motherhood. And you know, this is the core and crux of pro-life thinking in the African, you know, in the African context, that a lot of people I encounter in some of my work going back to Africa don't even know what the word pro-life means.
Wow.
But make no mistakes, they are pro-life by default. So I tell people, my people are pro-life in by default. Mm-hmm. We might not know the word pro-life. We might not know, you know, how to articulate this thinking, but how we are raised mm-hmm. is to recognize that life truly does begin in the womb. And so the moment babies are born, people surround these children and they begin to celebrate these children from the get-go. So we are a very pro-life people, and that's why the work of HEAL and ministries and missions like HEAL epitomize that and bring it out in the flesh, if you like. They bring it out concretely as to the way of life mm-hmm. and the priorities of the African people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's where the world should be looking and learning from.
And learning not only the way they celebrate the new life
yes.
with every baby,
yes.
but the way they honor the family.
Exactly.
And know what marriage is and what yes. family is.
Yes.
And I have had, so some of the African bishops have been on the program.
Yeah.
A good guest of mine in Chicago, Bishop Lance Davis, has been on the program talking about how this administration has tied financial aid to Ghana to the requirement that they redefine marriage in law there. One of the bishops, Uju, you brought to the program explained that as well, that that's happening. Somebody wrote me and questioned that and said that's not happening. But in fact, it has been happening. I've had different sources tell me that.
Oh, for sure. The former congressman, and LifeSite News has written about it. The former congressman has said it. And he being an insider, he is saying this with the perspective of DC and what goes on there.
Yeah.
It is absolutely true that aid, US aid, and all kinds of humanitarian aid coming from the United States have been tied very firmly to things like redefinition of marriage or mm-hmm. what the Africans do with the whole LGBT issue. Mm-hmm. And people were watching when President Obama was in Kenya recently, and the encounter he had, if I could say that, with the president of Kenya, who respectfully but very firmly told him that in Kenya, this is just not an issue. So, I mean, these things are happening every day, and people just have to be people have to be neutral in the first place to go in to look at how the American government and many governments like the American government, that is powerful Western governments, are treating Africans with regards to cultural beliefs and understanding of human life, marriage, the sanctity of marriage, and, you know, human sexuality.
And, you know, Uju, that's such an important point you make, that they have to look at it with an open mind.
Yes.
Just look at the facts and look at the reporting. And in fact, especially when it comes from a congressman who will attest to it.
Yeah.
And I've had congressmen on the show talk about these things. And then archbishops from Africa. And just be open to the truth. So Deacon Leo, what can listeners do to help your missions in Nigeria?
Oh, we have been working so hard with the situation of life and enhancing life of the widows and orphans. In fact, we have homeschool, as you can see from the website, which we have been using to get these children, to fund them, to give them proper formation of education that is selfless, centered, you know, to bring them to the maturity of future leaders who are selfless in their service to their people, who are patriotic, and who see the affairs of the people, who put person first, the dignity of human person first, before the glories of power and fame and honor, which to a large extent has pushed a lot of our politicians, a lot of our government leaders, to this self-centered appropriation of nation's wealth that leaves the poor and the marginalized in a very precarious situation in life. So we are calling for assistance in the educational setting. We have the homeschool for these children, and we are working on trying to build a center because of the Boko Haram issue and people that have been killed. A lot of the children we rescued from these areas are living with us as orphans undergoing the homeschool.
Oh, wow.
But we don't want to. We are happy because the whole issue of Boko Haram is in the north. We are in the south.
Yes.
But the point is, when we get these children, we also are aware that Boko Haram can strike and can attack anywhere, anytime. So we also want to build an undisclosed shelter where these children can be moved in the event of any sudden attack.
Yes.
And also, we are hoping that people from here can come down to work with us and to help us in as volunteer missionaries. The sisters and the brothers of my institution, they are working. But we need people who are well-trained in the areas, like counselors, psychologists, who can help to bring these people back. Like, so, but we need this home shelter will serve as a lodge for them who come from here to assist us.
So people who already have training and knowledge in the relief organization world just need to be aware that you're there and need them. Nick, what about Americans now, especially at the event you held last night, which you do here as the president of Home to Enhance Life, African Life? What are you doing here in this country, in Chicago for starters, starting out from there and then going out in America to what? Are you trying to spread awareness?
Yeah, spreading awareness, educating, just talking about the mission. It's harder when Leo goes back to Nigeria for me to carry on in the same spirit sometimes, but yeah, that's my role, is to tell people about the mission and to motivate people and to generate support for the mission. So I'm gonna, I've spoken a few times already, and I'm getting that part of this institution organization going and trying to get media exposure like we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the above really is what my role is to advance.
See, media need brother Deacon Leo to have the awareness to reach out to you and talk to you about your story. And I think there are a lot of people who would be really compelled to somehow step up. The water project alone is so doable. So, you know, other media out there who are listening, do something about this. I've posted links on the show page today, including the Facebook show page, where you can find out more information about each of my guests. Uju, Deacon, Nick, thank you for being here. Thank you for all you do. You're great witnesses to life. It's been a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila.
It's been great being here.
God bless you.
Folks, all the links are online. I'll see you there.
A Closer Look with Sheila Logminas is a production of Relevant Radio. To access guest information and past shows, go to relevantradio.com, keyword Sheila.